WTAW News Time is 6 minutes after 8. It's 54 degrees at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by the BCS Regional Association of Realtors, your voice for real estate in the Brazos Valley. Go to bcsrealtor.com. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. In June, the Research Valley Partnership created a committee to address what the Economic Development Agency believes is limited career and technical training for 34 occupations in Brazos County. That committee has notified the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board its intent to create a community college district.
Andrew Nelson, who co-chairs the RVP's Talent Pipeline Initiative Steering Committee, says a new college is one of several options they'll consider between now and December.
Blinn provides workforce solutions today. The county does some things. Texas A&M has some things that they're doing with TEKS. And so we wanted to look at what all is being done. We also want to look at where there are needs.
Nelson says if the committee recommends a joint effort with Blinn, that could lead to Blinn expanding its property tax base to Brazos County, which would provide majority control of the college's board of trustees.
And that would be another way to take direct control of our destiny, if you will. If we felt as though the needs of Blinn as it exists now in Washington County are not aligned with the needs of Brazos County, how do you resolve that? And certainly having a majority of the board coming from Brazos County would be something where you would hope that you would have that representation to do it to meet your needs.
But if the final decision is to start a new institution, they would buy out Blinn's facilities and take over contractual responsibilities in Brazos County. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620, WTAW.
Texas A&M President Michael Young has been appointed to the Homeland Security Academic Advisory Council. The council is made up of higher education leaders to help strengthen connections between academia and the Department of Homeland Security, with an ultimate goal of keeping the nation safe. Secretary Jay Johnson announced Wednesday Young's appointment, along with six other university presidents and a president emeritus. Former A&M President Dr. Bowen Lofton also served on the council during his time in College Station. While the current members of the College Station City Council are considering a roadway impact fee on new development, the final decision won't take place until after next month's election, when there are three new members. The proposed fee was among the topics at this week's Chamber of Commerce Candidates Forum. Place 4 candidate Joe Guerra favors the fee.
While I was on staff with the City of College Station, part of my job was to prioritize projects, transportation projects, and we struggled every year to come up with projects because we were constrained with regards to funding.
Guerra's opponent, Barry Moore, says in principle he's opposed to impact fees in a normal situation.
We're not facing a normal situation. We're growing. We've grown at an incredible rate the last 10 years. I believe we've got another 10 years ahead of us. And again, I think we've got to look at every possible scenario.
You can hear all the comments from the Chamber Forum online at WTAW.com. The deadline to receive an application for a mail ballot is a week from today. Early voting in Brazos County starts Monday at 5 voting centers. More information is online at brazosvotes.org. A concerned parent led to the arrest of a College Station man on charges of stealing $7,200 of medical equipment and narcotics. According to College Station police, 21-year-old Michael Norman admitted taking the equipment and the drugs from a vehicle by breaking a passenger window with a rock. A shoplifter caught by a security guard at the JCPenney store was arrested on additional charges. College Station police report 52-year-old Julie Ann Dominguez Solis had marijuana in her purse, along with a bag containing multiple items. And Solis was wanted by Bryan police on 4 arrest warrants, including theft and not having a driver's license. West of Bastrop, Austin police went to a farm to recover $100,000 cash, 20 firearms, and hundreds of 12 packs of Dos Equis beer.
It was a little more than 712 packs of beer that was recovered out there. What was stolen, I don't have the exact figure, but it was more than $90,000 worth of beer.
Austin Police Sergeant Maurice Forche says the beer came from a South Austin distribution company, and the Bastrop County Animal Cruelty Unit was also called to conduct a separate investigation. A judge has refused to remove the McLennan County District Attorney from the Waco biker shootout prosecutions, and there's already talk of an appeal.
McLennan County District Judge Matt Johnson denied a motion on behalf of two bikers to have District Attorney Abel Reyna removed. 177 bikers are facing charges from the May 2015 gunfight at the Twin Peaks in Waco. Attorney Clint Broden, who represents one of the bikers who wanted Reyna out, admits it's been an uphill fight.
It's hard to disqualify a district attorney, and we certainly acknowledge acknowledge that, but when there is a conflict of interest that raises a due process concern for the defendants, then you're entitled to disqualification.
Broden could still appeal. 9 were killed, 20 were wounded in the gunfight between rival motorcycle gangs. LP Phillips, TSN News.
WTAW News Time is 11 minutes after 8. It's 54 degrees. The text line is open, 979-695-1620. This look at news is brought to you by the BCS Regional Association of Realtors. One more look at news at 8:30. You can always go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Did you know that Bryan and College Station were both voted as top 10 most improved cities in the U.S. since the recession? Our market is booming, and now is the time to buy, sell, or invest in real estate by partnering with one of the trustworthy realtors with the BCS Association of Realtors, Brazos Valley Realtors, investing their time, their efforts, and their energy in this community. Visit bcsrealtor.com to find an agent and get started on the next exciting chapter of your life.
Deals are cropping up at Normandy Tractor. That means up to $4,500 in rebates on Kubota tractors, RTVs, and mowers. And get lower prices and larger cash rebates, zero down financing, zero APR on the largest selection of farm and ranch equipment. Like the new Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth for $13,595, minus a $1,500 cash rebate and a $1,500 two-implement rebate. Pay cash of $10,500 and have it delivered today. Build your own package deal with the help of the Normandy Tractor team. And don't forget, Normandy Tractor has a large selection of trailers to bring your new tractor home. Vernon and the boys at Normandy Tractor ask, why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? Normandy Tractor has financing to fit any budget. Experience the excellence of Kubota at the award-winning Normandy Tractor in Normandy, Texas, corner of Highway 39 and OSR, or online at normandytractor.com. Remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
It's 8:13. Good morning. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast is brought to you this morning by Skyline Communications, in business for your business since 1981 with two-way radios and paging service. Call Skyline Communications, 775-2929.
A new area of high pressure building over the central United States controls our weather over the next several days. It'll set us up for much more comfortable weather than we had earlier in the week. Mostly sunny and pleasant with a high of 75 to 80 this afternoon. Tonight we're clear of right around 50. A few spots may dip into the 40s. Sunshine tomorrow, we're back up to 75 to 80. Tomorrow night clear, lows near 55. Partly to mostly sunny Sunday with highs of 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
So continuing with the biggest, most important story of the day, I think without any question.
Kim Kardashian's birthday?
No.
Oh.
The beer in the field.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So now we're saying 712 packs.
Over 712 packs of Dos Equis.
Now, here's the question, though. First of all, so I got nothing to do. That's 787 gallons of beer. 787 gallons. So think of that gallon water jug that you have, you know, that you get filled up with water. 787 of those, okay? So that's what we're looking at. Or I don't know, if you got like the 5-gallon jug that you do, there'd be like 157 of those.
Right.
All right, so that's a lot of beer.
That's a lot of beer.
What we don't know, or do we know, were these cans or bottles?
I don't know.
I know.
I will look. Usually 12-pack. Dos Equis comes in bottles. There are cans, obviously.
Yeah,
but when I think of Dos Equis, I think of bottles.
Well, I was not able to find, I guess it's out there. Maybe Google, what is the weight of a 12-pack of bottled beer? Because all I calculated was cans. And, of course, aluminum cans are much lighter than the glass.
So it looks like about 10 pounds.
10 pounds. Okay.
Approximately 9.8
now, but is that the aluminum can? See, because that's what I've gotten,
you're right. Sorry, that's what you were looking at. Okay.
So let's see if we can find glass bottles.
Bottles.
Folks, that's why we are the Infomaniacs, so that you can find this out.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Okay, a weight of a case of beer, well, that's 24 glass bottles.
And that's okay, all right. Okay, so we'll take that by half.
Anywhere from 36 to 42. So we're looking at 18 to 20 pounds.
So let's say 19 pounds.
Okay.
Is that fair? So
yeah, 18 to 20, that works.
Okay, 19 pounds times 700, okay?
Yeah.
So that's 13,300 pounds. Now, let's do it by tonnage. That's 6.6 tons of beer.
That is a lot of beer.
I got me a ton of beer.
Literally.
Oh, my gosh. And what would that do for Bottle Cap Alley?
Man. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. But, no, but
I was trying to see if I could find any more information. Yeah. And it looks like the two guys have passports from Guatemala and their IDs are from California. So they're not even Texans.
Well, and the other deal is this. Okay. You're going to probably try to fence this, right? You're going to try to sell this stuff off.
Right. I would think so, yeah.
All right. Now, if you can't find somebody who's going to take this whole 700.
Yeah, you're stuck with a lot of beer.
Are you going to park on 290 with a flatbed and sell them a, 12 pack at a time?
Here's a question.
Okay.
How many limes do you need order to dress that many bottles of Dos Equis?
Now that's a good question.
Oh, I'm just
it's a lot.
And anyway, do you get a discount after you buy the 15th case? I mean, or
with all these questions, it seems more problematic, really, than anything else. You're just causing more problems.
And, well, the thing is, though, and, certainly we hear about them all the time, and sometimes we've been victims of what you would call crimes of opportunity. Like if your car's in a parking lot and somebody decides to break the window and steal something that's on the seat, that's a crime of opportunity. Well, stealing 700 12 packs of beer isn't because it was just laying around available.
It
does mean that they hadn't thought about it.
Scott, they just wanted to become the most interesting criminals in the world.
Oh, I like it. Yes. Hello.
I used to work for a distributor.
I really want to know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to know what you're saying. So get into a spot that's not a null so we can hear about that. And that was the other thing we discussed. Can you be missing 700 12 packs? I mean, if I didn't have them, I'd be missing them.
I'm sure they knew they were missing them. Yeah.
In this day and time, I'd think that inventory. Hey, all right.
This better?
Yes, better.
Anyway, I used to work for a beer distributor, and we had one of our coworkers one day just got a wild hair. And instead of taking his load to Houston, he decided to take it to the east side of Dallas and throw open the back door, and he had but he was caught. He had sold a half a trailer full of beer at $5 a head. And he was just selling it, going crazy.
How much beer can...
Like I said, a half trailer full of beer before they caught him. It was only like a day and a half.
Now, how much beer can fit in an 18-wheeler, approximately?
Oh, you figure a pallet probably has, 112 packs on it.
Okay. So...
And he just, he was selling it, coming and going, and people come out of the woodwork like cockroaches, and they were buying it for $5.
Oh, yeah, $5 beer.
All right, so let me think about this. Okay, a pallet, you could probably do, can you do three across or four across in the back of an 18-wheeler?
Two?
Two across, two and then all the way back. Two by 12, is that fair? 24 pallets, would that be what you could do in there?
Yeah, that's about how much would fit on a trailer. About 24 pallets.
Interesting, good, thank
24
you.
24 to 30, depending on the weight of the beer, but...
Okay. But
$5. You know how much it
weighs
now.
He's still in jail for that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I bet he is. Yeah, that was his last day. Thank you. See, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. We can find somebody who can educate us.
Someone knows.
Greatest show on radio. Just love being able to do that. But $5. That would work. And like you said,
he said a case. So I'm thinking that's 30.
Yeah, and he's still
for $5.
And he's still in jail.
Not worth the party up in East Dallas.
Thinking not. All right, so every Tesla car may be self-driving by the end of the year, Elon Musk says, but that doesn't mean that they're protected from road rage. A study conducted by Goodyear and the London School of Economics suggests that some rogue drivers might be excited about bullying even autonomous vehicles. In fact, according to the study, some participants feel self-driving cars will be easier to mess with. Well, they're going to try to hack it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Look what I made my autonomous car do. It ain't autonomous anymore. Just saying.
Which would completely defeat the purpose, of course.
Oh, I suppose so. Nearly $10,000 in cash and a restaurant owner left in a shopping cart at an upstate New York store has been returned thanks to a couple who found the money.
Wow, good for them.
Who leaves the money, though? That's wow.
Managers at the Tractor Supply Company store in Sennett in the Finger Lakes region says that the couple found around $9,800 in an envelope Monday morning along with a checkbook. The couple turned the envelope over to the store staff, did their shopping, and left without giving their names. The local restaurant owner called Monday saying that she had put a week's worth of her restaurant receipts in an envelope and mistakenly left it in the cart while shopping on Sunday night. What? Okay, I understand carrying it with you. You don't want to leave it in your vehicle out in the parking lot, but
right.
Really?
Yeah.
Put it in the basket while you're shopping? And she's shopping at the Tractor Supply Store, which is kind of interesting. I mean, you know, that's cool. I mean, they got stuff there that you got to buy, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
Okay. MacGyver's on tonight. Have you guys seen MacGyver yet?
No.
Haven't watched it yet.
Okay. Well, I keep saying I want to see it, but anyway. That's on tonight. Season premiere of The Vampire Diaries is tonight also, just so you know.
Okay.
And if you want to know about Hamilton, this Broadway sensation,
mm-hmm.
8 o'clock tonight on PBS, they've got a documentary that goes behind the scenes of the Broadway hit, interviews with President Obama and George Bush. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
All right. So then tomorrow night, a series premiere. It's called Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
I saw a preview for this, actually.
BBC America, if you got that. It's a new series based on the novels by the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy author, Douglas Adams. Centers on Elijah Wood plays the part of Todd, a washed-up rocker who stumbles onto a murder scene of a millionaire, and the eccentric Dirk, played by Samuel Barnett, who you may know from Penny Dreadful, who believes that they are destined to solve the mystery together.
Okay.
Saturday Night Live, Tom Hanks is going to be the host.
Oh, hey.
And Lady Gaga's the music person.
Nice.
All right. How many times has Tom Hanks been the host now? That's got to be like eight or nine.
Yeah. And is Leslie Jones doing it too with him? I saw them on a commercial the other day.
Okay.
And they're pretty funny together.
Right. Well,
so.
Yeah. She's a funny lady. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. And then, of course, as we all know, and Brad has mentioned, it's the season premiere of The Walking Dead.
That's right.
On AMC. That'll be at 8 o'clock so that you can watch that if you're so inclined. I'm just saying it's there.
And I will
you.
Be.
Okay.
Hi, this is Debbie Lewis. I have a show on Sunday mornings that can make a difference for you and your family. Brazos Wellness, sponsored by College Station Medical Center, focuses on local doctors, healthcare providers, and wellness experts from right here in the Brazos Valley. This Sunday morning at 8, I'll be speaking with the American Cancer Society and how they can help us. The Meds Dr. Roque is with us, and we're going to cover allergies. It is that time of year. Be sure to listen Sunday mornings at 8 here on 1620 WTAW.
This is Survivor Ben. It's been 23 days in the wilderness. Food is now real hard to find.
Excuse me, I'm heading to the lake in my Tundra. If you see a Tacoma and a 4Runner, tell them I went this way.
Okay.
I'm starving. Gotta go grill some steaks. Enjoy your hike.
You gotta be kidding me.
Qualified buyers get 0% APR for 60 months plus $2,000 special edition cash at a dependable 2016 Tundra Crew Max Special Edition. Toyota, let's go places. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and end 10/31/16.
Dolphins in distress. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. While interviewing a national park biologist on Cape Cod, we saw a dolphin trapped in a nearby salt marsh. Soon, a rescue team from the International Fund for Animal Welfare, or IFAW, was on the scene, led by program manager Brian Sharp.
So what we try to do is respond to them. We have a transport trailer that acts as our mobile veterinary unit, and then we can transport the animals to deep water, to the north part of the seashore.
He and his team maneuver the 250-pound Atlantic white-sided dolphin onto a stretcher and wheeled it to a large medical trailer where the animal was tended and outfitted with a radio transmitter. Dolphin strandings are frequent here, and no one knows why. Once this animal is released into deep water, the data that it and other dolphins relay back will help scientists trying to learn what could be causing the animals to swim ashore and what, if anything, can be done to prevent it. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
I'm John, a volunteer at United Way. I'm here at Lincoln Elementary School to find out what this place needs. Who knows better about what kids need than kids, right? Let's ask them.
Monsters!
Lasers!
A pool!
Another guinea pig!
More lasers!
Sprinkles!
I was thinking more spinach at lunchtime and maybe more exercise.
Nah.
Lasers are cool.
When it comes to creating healthier communities, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Oh,
Oh, hi. Right now, I'm getting a remarkably heartfelt bear hug from Smokey Bear. Thanks, big guy. Now, if you could let me down. See, I made sure there were no low-hanging branches when I set up my campfire. And before we left, I drowned out my campfire, stirred it, drowned it out again, then made sure it was cold. Visit SmokeyBear.com to learn tips to prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Comcast's NBC Universal is investing another $200 million in BuzzFeed, doubling its investment in the digital media company. BuzzFeed has grown quickly through its focus on listicles, branded content, and video, but its results have been affected by a variety of factors, including slower than anticipated growth in content licensing revenue and the difficulties monetizing some platforms where it has a huge audience, such as Facebook. Tesla says it plans to charge buyers of its newest cars $8,000 to activate autonomous driving technology, hinting those who do would be able to offset the cost through a ride-hailing network similar to Uber and Lyft. The $8,000 price covers the software to enable a new hardware option called full self-driving capability, which will cost $10,000 if purchased separately from the vehicle. Microsoft's focus on cloud computing has helped it deliver better-than-expected quarterly profits, sending its shares to an all-time high. On Wall Street, futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How much can you save?
How about a 5,000 square foot building for under $39,000?
So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-95-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-95-STEEL. Don't spend thousands more than you should. Call 866-957-8335.
Apple filed a lawsuit involving Amazon yesterday. And every consumer should know what's been revealed so far. I'm Kim Komando with your Friday Digital Consumer Tech Update. Here's an article from yesterday's USA Today. It says that when you consider all the stocked items in Amazon's warehouses, together with all the third-party items Amazon sells, Amazon is probably responsible for up to one-third of everything sold online. As the holiday shopping season begins, remember that third-party products can be a problem. Apple conducted an investigation into so-called genuine Apple wall chargers sold on Amazon. They found that 90% are counterfeit and probably dangerous, something that could overcharge your iPhone's battery and cause a Samsung-like fire. Apple is suing the charger company. Counterfeit products are rampant online. Remember, just because it's on Amazon doesn't mean it's legitimate. Get breaking tech news updated all the time at news.commando.com. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O. All right, let me ask you a question. What's on your list of fun things to do this weekend? I'm guessing that it doesn't include backing up your computer files. Well, backup is never on my to-do list because I have Carbonite. Carbonite backs up your files to the cloud whenever you're connected to the internet, and they do it automatically and securely, so you don't even need to think about it. And since your backed up files will be safely in the cloud, this is so cool. You can access them on any computer or on your smartphone or tablet with a free Carbonite app. You know, I've been a Carbonite customer for many years, and I wouldn't recommend it to you unless I knew it was the best. I trust Carbonite with all my irreplaceable files, and so can you. Just be sure to use my name, Kim, because you're going to save 30% off Carbonite Cloud Backup, plus get 2 free bonus months when you buy a subscription. So hurry up and go to Carbonite.com before it's too late, and be sure to use offer code Kim, that's Carbonite.com, offer code Kim.
8:30, let's find out what's going on at Messina Hoff. And Savannah's here this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Let's talk about something that actually y'all have been doing for a while, but a lot of people are just catching on to, and that is the idea of actually having wine served out of a tap. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we, at our wine bar, we do wine on tap, and we always have that rotating. That's a really cool thing that we do because you can come get a growler. It actually decreases your environmental footprint.
Well, that's the reason I drink wine, because it does that. But, no, let's go.
And it makes it really fresh. So it's a really cool concept. You can come get a growler, fill up your growler with your favorite wine, take it home. It stays really fresh. But also, a kind of new thing that we've been doing is renting out kegs for tailgates, weddings, all kinds of things. And that's a really cool thing. You can get your own keg of wine.
So, like, how many people would be, I mean, could we say you could serve out of a keg of wine, for instance?
You could serve a lot of people out of a keg of wine, because it's actually 5.2 gallons per keg. So that's a lot.
I think the freshness is something new and different that people don't think about. They think, oh, if I get it in a bottle, well, that's the best way I could possibly get it. And again, with aged wines that go on and on and on for 30 years, we're not talking about that, but we're basically talking service at a bar. You don't have to have, because if you think about it, if you go in, that bottle of wine may have a cork in it. They got to pull the cork out, where you're wondering, well, when was that thing opened? And here, don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it every time it, you know, seals back up. So, like, actually a wine keg, and they're reusable too, which is different. So you can get about 26 bottles out of the landfill with one of those wine kegs.
Okay, so now how's it work as far as the fee or something like that? How's that work?
So we have a whole sheet that we can send someone if they actually want to rent this out.
Okay.
But we have a rental fee, deposit, and then the actual keg price. And all those vary depending on the type of wine, whatever wine you like. If you're a Beau fan, you know, if you like our port, whatever you want, we got it.
I mean, think about that. How about that? A port or, you know, I'm thinking the Sweet Justice, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be able to get an entire keg of it. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So if they want some more, so again, you can email them that so they can get some more information on it.
Yeah, so you can actually just give us a call at 979-778-9463 or email retail@messinahoff.com, and we can send over that sheet with all the information and pricing. And
okay, so enjoy yourself. You're off this weekend to go do a wine tasting someplace. Where?
Yes, we are headed to Fredericksburg, where our second Messinahoff location is, and so that'll be lots of fun pouring some Messinahoff wine for our Fredericksburg fans.
There you go, coming to a festival near you. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
All right.
WTAW News Time is 8:33. It's 55 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. A new community college could be created in Brazos County.
According to a statement from a new committee of the Research Valley Partnership Economic Development Agency, compared to all other high-growth regions of Texas, Brazos County is dramatically underserved by community college programs that could provide a valuable technical workforce. After 4 months of collecting data and surveys, the Committee of Local Business and Community Leaders notified the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board of their intent to create a college district. Committee co-chairman Andrew Nelson hopes a decision is made in December which option they'll take to increase workforce training.
One of those options would be to take kind of control directly within Brazos County of our own destiny, if you will, and get exactly what we think will meet our needs. But that's just one of the options. We haven't made that decision.
Nelson says they have received a proposal from Blinn College, but if the final decision is to start a new institution, there would be no damage to Blinn.
That would probably mean buying those facilities, making sure we take care of those agreements with Texas A&M and everyone else. And so the lights would stay on. It's just you might have a name change.
The RVP created what they call the Talent Pipeline Initiative Steering Committee after determining there's limited career and technical training in 34 occupations in Brazos County. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620, WTAW.
Two of three new members of the College Station City Council will come from a contested race. Those who are seeking the citywide positions in places 3 and 4 participated in this week's Chamber of Commerce Candidates Forum. Questions included their opinion of new development being charged a roadway impact fee. Place 3 candidate Linda Harvell supports the fee.
We need to do something so that we can protect the existing infrastructure, and as we continue to grow, that infrastructure is put in place so it's a sustainable growth, and our roadways are left in good condition as opposed to the situation they're in now.
Harvell's opponent, Jeremy Osborne, is not against the concept.
I think we need a menu of options to consider. It's just one of the things. The roadway maintenance fee is another. To improve current infrastructure, we can always bond it. There are lots of options, and it's something that I absolutely would consider, but I'm reluctant to do so because of the economic impact it might have.
All the comments from the candidates' forum can be heard online at WTAW.com. Early voting in Brazos County starts Monday at 5 voting centers. The deadline to receive an application for a mail ballot is a week from today. More information is online at brazosvotes.org. And Texas A&M President Michael Young is one of 8 new members of a council working with the Department of Homeland Security. Wednesday, Secretary Jay Johnson announced the appointments to the Homeland Security Academic Advisory Council, a group of higher education leaders who will help strengthen connections between academia and the DHS to keep the nation safe. Dr. Bowen Lofton also served on the council during his time at Texas A&M. WTAW News Time is 8:36. It's 55 degrees. Text us at 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by Awards and More. More news at noon today, or you can always go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
Howdy, College Station. I'm Carl Mooney, a candidate to be your next mayor. Throughout my life, I have deliberately taken many career paths as a police officer, teacher, realtor, professor, salesperson, and Aggie academic and athletic administrator. I've developed the knowledge and skills, the background and resiliency needed to be your mayor. Since 1998, I've served College Station as a member and chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission, being on City Council, and serving 2 terms as mayor pro tem. Please vote for Carl Mooney to be your mayor.
Message paid by the Mooney for Mayor campaign. Danny Stribling, Treasurer.
Have you outgrown your nest? I'm quite advanced. Call my mom, Monica, to find your dream nest.
Hi, I'm Monica Van Est with Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Aggie Class of 03. After being in the real estate business 16 years, I've learned how to help my clients find the perfect nest. Have you found that you have an empty nest and need to downsize? Are you looking for a new nest or looking to buy a nest for your investment? Call Monica Van Est, Agtown Realtors, 574-4118.
News Talk 1620 WTAW's 8:38. Let's do some weather. It's brought to you this morning by Anchor Foundation Repair, the leader in foundation repair for more than 30 years. In addition to fixing concrete slabs, they also do polyurethane concrete raising. So if you'd like some more information, then go to anchorfoundationrepair.net.
A new area of high pressure building over the central United States controls our weather over the next several days. It'll set us up for much more comfortable weather than we had earlier in the week. Mostly sunny and pleasant with a high of 75 to 80 this afternoon. Tonight we're clear of right around 50. A few spots may dip into the 40s. Sunshine tomorrow, we're back up to 75 to 80. Tomorrow night clear, lows near 55. Partly to mostly sunny Sunday with highs of 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
So it's 8:39. Jay Sokol here from the City of College Station. How are you today?
Hey, good.
So what's up?
Ah, not much.
Okay.
You've got a guest.
I do have a guest.
Yes. All the way from College Station, Place 6 City Councilman James Benham.
All right. Councilman, how are you?
Outstanding.
Listen, I understand you're in the radio business now.
Absolutely, I am.
He's just telling us that he and 2 other people, what's it called?
The Contech Trio. It's all about construction technology every week.
Okay. See, I was thinking the Contact Maniacs, but he didn't do that.
No,
okay.
You know.
All right. I have a first question comes to you from Chelsea Reber.
Chelsea. Yeah. Yeah. The question that I have is cell phone calls for tickets.
See, we give away tickets.
We give away tickets on Infomaniacs.
Yeah.
And November 9th, our residents of College Station, or our motorists, I should say, are not going to be allowed to call in for tickets while they're driving.
Well, sure they can. They can just use Siri, and then they can say, dial WTAW, and since it's in their speed dial, then
of course,
should be, right?
It's on their favorites.
Isn't it in everyone's speed dial, Chelsea?
Yeah.
Is it in yours? Can you bring your phone over here? Let me check it out.
Wow, called out on my show.
Okay, so he says we can do it. That's
all right. As long as it's hands-free. We're just trying to get people ready for this change.
Yeah, the change that I voted against, right? That one.
Yeah, he did. He voted against it. Yeah, but so we told him they could just drive into the city limits of Bryan, which made the people in Bryan happy about that.
Absolutely.
They call from there.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so we got that answered. Well, while we're talking about roads, then let's go right to impact fees, because that's...
Other thing I voted against.
That's a...
Or I will vote against.
A lot of discussion. Well, obviously this is a $380 million budget that has a lot of increases in it. So
tons.
Let's talk about maybe the first one, which is water and wastewater.
Yep.
I mean, were you, do you have any problems with that particular situation?
No, you know, you have to... It doesn't really help in local politics or really in any politics to be purely dogmatic and say, I will never support a fee increase. I will never support a tax increase. You have to look at every single one of them individually, but you also have to look at aggregate impact. And wastewater fees and water fees, they make sense. We have a competitive market for that. You can look at what people in our town pay for other water districts mm-hmm. as well. And I believe that what Mr. Coleman and our staff proposed was a reasonable fee considering what others around us charge and what, frankly, we need to charge to make sure we have good water and wastewater. So that one, when I looked at all the facts and all the issues, the competitive analysis, same thing I do in my business, look at the competition, look at your costs, look at your future commitments, and let's make a decision that makes sense. Water made sense.
Now you've got a fee, though, on top of that for new construction. So you've got the water and wastewater that everybody's going to have to pay. That's an 8% increase, but now you've got to have a fee on top of that.
Correct. Yeah, and the simple reality is that infrastructure always lags demand, and in a high-growth area, you have to have... an ability to actually pay for everything, and water is definitely not a cheap product to build out. I mean, when you really look at it.
Infrastructure always has to lag behind demand, but it doesn't when it comes to roads. I mean, you can see, you should.
I didn't say it has to lag
but
demand.
It does.
Infrastructure always lags demand.
Okay, but now we're challenged over and over again, and it goes all the way back to when the College Station Council didn't have the will to extend Appomattox when they should have.
Correct.
And that was, you know, 25, 30 years ago.
Hindsight is 2020, but that was a big mistake.
But how is this council any different in that now you're struggling with the situation and we're about to go into areas of very, very high density in College Station? Holloman already, I mean, before they've even finished building it out, we know we've got a problem. If this is a council that has so much vision, how are you making the same mistakes at other councils?
Yeah, so with traffic, with this whole roadway and impact fees, my big problem with it is that the cost per home is high. Because it's not a percentage, right? It's a flat fee.
It is.
And it adversely impacts the lower-cost houses.
Okay, how many what is a lower-cost house?
Even anything in the high hundreds to the low 200s, which there's a decent amount of product, when you're 180s
not to
new. 220 to 230.
Councilman, not new ones. Not new ones.
I know what I see being permitted and what developers are going in different areas in the low 200s. And the high hundreds is a product that's still going to be built in College Station, and it adversely impacts them. That being said, my concern is that the dollar value is relatively high for a relatively low amount of total revenue compared to the total, when we could just make a move in property tax and get the same effect. There's not enough bang for the buck. And what I think that a lot of people forget is the psychology of pricing. Every dollar you add onto a product, you risk hitting a price cliff. And this is something that I deal with every day running a business for the last 15 years is pricing of products and services.
Sure.
And there are certain levels, and you know this in selling ads in the radio business. I mean, there's a certain dollar amount after which you hit a cliff and demand significantly reduces.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my concern because we're talking about water and wastewater, and then we're talking about road impact, and we're, you know, you still have all of the other dedication and impact fees and permitting and inspection costs and taxes. And so you're talking about a really material difference in the cost of a home for relatively little money. I think the estimated revenue was $14 million over 10 years, and it doesn't even make a dent in the total amount. And so, look, I'm not one of those hardcore advocates that believes we should be chasing zero on tax because government and streets and everything else costs money. But I really dislike splitting revenue out over 20 different fees. It's why I opposed the budget. I voted against the budget, mm-hmm. the only one to vote against the budget, because it depends on a $10 a month road maintenance fee. Well, that's just another tax that you're calling a fee.
Sure.
Except now senior citizens don't have any any help at all on it, like they do with property tax, right? They're going to have to pay $10 a month on their bill.
Well, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Fair and equitable treatment, right? Mm-hmm. Fair and equitable treatment.
Well, we can get off on freezing senior citizen taxes.
We can as well, but my point is there's not enough bang for the buck. And I really would prefer that we just call a tax and bundle it into property tax if that's what we need.
All right, now, if you've got four students living in an apartment, now how is that going to be done? Are each of them going to have to pay an additional? How is it done on the utility bill?
It's on the utility bill, okay. So it's per meter.
All right, so that won't happen. All right, well, but that brings up a couple of other things, which is why does government continue to have to grow? Why does it have to get bigger? Why do we have to do
this?
The
question of the century.
Well, why do we have to do this at some point?
Why does government revenue have to outstrip inflation is the question that I've been asking, right? Is mm-hmm. why does the cost of government increase at a rate higher than the cost of the consumer price index? Because that's a really challenging question to ask, because theoretically, as you add people into your city, the additional tax revenue that those people generate would offset the cost that they generate. And so that's really what the challenge I've been posing in the budget committee is don't accept that the cost of the government of College Station would have to increase at a rate of 5% a year when the consumer price index is 3% a year, unless you've dug yourself in a hole. And that's where you really get into a challenge. If you froze pay for years and now you're losing employees, which that's really the situation we ended up in, right? We froze our top line revenue. Absolutely. We froze top line revenue. Sales tax revenue reduced. We had layoffs and we had wage freezes for our city staff. And we employed 900 people. And so now we're trying to dig out of a hole that was created by an economic situation out of our control. And so I think you have to be realistic that there are periods of time in which you'll freeze the increase in revenue and periods of time when you're trying to make up for a period of time when you couldn't increase taxes. So that's really the situation. I've served on council for 4 years. I was on planning and zoning before that. And I've watched us walk through the recession and the subsequent recovery. And the reality is that the property tax rate in College Station, when College Station was incorporated in 1938, was 60 cents. Mm-hmm. And now it's 12 cents lower than that.
Right.
So I mean if they would have left the tax rate alone mm-hmm. and never reduced it and just kept it at 60 cents for all of College Station's creation, we would be in an entirely different situation. Now, the question you then have to ask is, would everyone just have spent all that money and be asking for more? It's like projects expand to the time frame they're allowed, and almost sometimes governments expand to the budget they're allowed. And so you really have to take a hard look at that.
Pretty clear. James Benham joining us. We got to finish up. I'm going to ask you one more question, and I know you've got a couple of things you want to talk about. But it looks like we're not going to be able to settle this until a new council is seated. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And that's going to cause what? That it may not happen?
No, it's a good thing. It lets the voters. Voters, you have a clear decision this election on which way you want the city of government of College Station to go. You have candidates that have very clearly made their perspective clear. You have smaller government, lower tax candidates, and you have the opposite. So they get to decide if they're going to have more fees and taxes and on themselves.
Okay.
So,
well, I want to give you a couple of minutes to go ahead and talk about some other stuff we haven't talked about that's important to you.
No, I mean, look, I'm thrilled. First, the food truck park ordinance passed. I appreciate you guys' coverage on that. It's going to be a fantastic feature in town. Gigabit broadbands continue to be deployed. You know, that's a passionate topic of mine. I'm really excited that companies like Wirestar came in and leased fiber from the city of College Station, generating a new revenue source for the taxpayers, and are extending gigabit broadband. Suddenlink as well stepped up to the plate, offered gigabit broadband. So a lot of those multi-year plans are really playing out, and I'm thrilled about them. And I think that we've made a lot of progress in the area of technical infrastructure to try and grow a type of net exporter company base that we really need in town. We need people who generate tax dollars and generate GDP for the city of College Station. So I think it's been a good few years.
Condense down to me in a sentence or two. Basically, you and the Assistant Chief Couch discussed a long time food trucks. The sticking point as far as the police were concerned is, now I'm going to have to look at overtime for my officers
because
I have to stay out there longer. So your thoughts?
And my argument there was there is plenty of establishments in the Northgate area that are walking distance from the bars that are open all night. And so the argument simply didn't hold water for me. There, Antonio's Pizza is open until 2:30. McDonald's opens all night. And you know we had issues at McDonald's as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so This doesn't really change the fact this this establishment, this particular one, stops serving alcohol at midnight. Have you ever seen a bar after they stop serving alcohol? Do you know what happens at a bar after they stop serving alcohol?
Yeah.
It clears out.
It does. They go away.
They don't sit and hang around and drink water and keep laughing and joking. It is a... So I think you have to be realistic about human behavior and the fact that we have to fairly and equitably treat all the establishments. So if we're going to stop serving food at one place at 2, everybody needs to stop serving food at 2 o'clock. But that's not really going to happen, right?
Yep, I don't think so. All right, no. James Bedham here. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thanks.
What else you got?
Reminder that the Household Hazardous Waste and Computer Collection event is tomorrow from 7 to 2 at the University Services Building. If you'd like to know more about it, visit TwinOaksHHW.com.
All right, there you go. That's our community segment. It's brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
80 years ago, life was simple, and so was insurance. Since 1936, Van Dyke Rankin has been insuring your family and business, protecting those things most important to you. As a homeowner, we know you want to protect your largest investment. Save money while working with someone you know and trust. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance. People just like you, providing insurance services with honesty and integrity.
Well, this is the part of Bravo Brazos Valley I enjoy because I sit back, kick back, relax, and listen to Fran Lamb talk about heritage highlights. And today she's talking about rivers.
One cannot escape the part of Texas history that is closely linked to the history of its rivers. In particular, the Brazos River, the Colorado River, the Trinity, the Navasota, and the Rio Grande all played a key part in routing explorers and providing valuable water resources to early settlements. It is unclear when the Brazos was first named by European explorers, since it was often confused for the Colorado River to the south, but it definitely was seen by the exploring team led by La Salle. The Brazos River was important for navigation before and after the Civil War, and steamboats sailed as far up the river as Washington on the Brazos. While attempts to improve commercial navigation on the river continued, railroads proved more reliable. The Brazos River also flooded, often seriously, on a regular basis, before a levee system was replaced, particularly in the massive flood of 1913. During the 16th century, El Paso became an important stop for Spanish explorers on their way to New Mexico to find riches and convert the native population to Christianity. As early as 1609, El Paso became a critical point in the long north-south route of communication and trade between the Mexican interior and missions and Spanish settlements. The story of the missions of El Paso is quite different from that of other Spanish missions. Unlike the more well-known missions of South Texas, especially San Antonio, as well as those along the El Camino Real, only three in the El Paso area were founded in an attempt to settle the native people of the area. The rest were founded for the refugees and hostages from the 1680 Pueblo Revolt in New Mexico. The Pueblo Indians from the north also brought their own traditions with them, including farming skills developed over 100 years of farming. The availability of water, crucial for their agricultural efforts, pleased the Pueblos. However, caught between two worlds, these Indians often alternated between being hostile to and accommodating to the Spanish. As was the Brazos River in this part of Texas, the Rio Grande River was also unpredictable, prone to flooding, drought, and channel switching. Irrigation canals were necessary for agriculture in El Paso and to help dissipate floodwaters from the Rio Grande. Today, the Brazos River bottom enjoys a healthy economy, providing numerous opportunities for agricultural development along the Brazos River. I'm Fran Lamb, and this has been another episode of Heritage Highlights. To listen to this episode or other previously aired programs, visit the KAMU website at kamu.tamu.edu.
Thank you, Fran Lamb. That is Bravo Brazos Valley with Heritage Highlights. I'm Tom Turbeville. It's brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Agtown Realtors voted the best in the Brazos Valley.
Have you outgrown your nest? I'm Clayton Van Ness. Call my mom, Monica, to find your dream nest.
Hi, I'm Monica Van Est with Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Aggie Class of 03. After being in the real estate business 16 years, I've learned how to help my clients find the perfect nest. Have you found that you have an empty nest and need to downsize? Are you looking for a new nest or looking to buy a nest for your investment? Call Monica Van Est, Agtown Realtors, 574-4118.
I'm Mary Kay Moore, candidate for Mayor of Bryan. I don't have colorful signs, but I do have enthusiastic supporters and the interest of all of Bryan's citizens at heart. My campaign will be outspent, but nothing can beat my 22 years of municipal government experience, my training as a certified public accountant, or my skills as a mediator. It is time to bring the factions in Bryan together to serve all of Bryan's citizens, to work for development while enhancing what we already have. I am proud to ask for your vote to keep Bryan strong and would appreciate your support.
Proven knowledge, proven leadership, proven experience, proven community commitment. Vote Mary Kay Moore as your next qualified mayor for the city of Bryan. Political ad paid for by Mary Kay for Mayor campaign. Patrick Moore, treasurer.
Touchdown. These may be the sounds we've all been waiting all year to hear. But that sound, now that's music to my ears. Bubba Dixon here, and at Tom White Chevrolet,
football season means tailgate season. So fire up the grill and get ready to save on Chevy's best-selling pickups all season long.
Like a new 2016 Silverado Crew Cab Texas Edition with $11,700 in total savings, or save $13,700 with Conquest. With nearly 200 trucks and SUVs to choose from in the most competitive internet pricing around. Whether you're mastering the barbecue or getting a great deal on your new Chevy, when it comes to football season at Tom White Chevrolet,
it's good.
Business off North Earl Rudder Freeway in Bryan to take the Tom Light Challenge and see for yourself why since 1972, all roads lead to Tom Light Chevrolet. Chevy, find new roads.
46,820 MSRP, less factory rebates, and Chevy bonus tag, plus 2,000 rebate for Conquest vehicle owners. With approved credit, TT and L Extra. Expires 10/31/16. See dealer for details.
3 minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW. You know, I'm just turning the page, just saw a news story. And again, another story on, if you missed it, MetLife is dropping Snoopy.
Can't believe it.
You know, and the thing is, Snoopy is so iconic, and I understand they're going to get out of what they say, domestic retail life insurance. They're going to go do other things, mm-hmm. but it's Snoopy. Get this, Carol Burnett is returning to television.
Oh, yeah?
For a comedy with Amy Poehler. Wow. The untitled comedy about a family who can only live in the house of their dreams if they live with the current owner. That's the actress that Carol Burnett will play until she dies. Well, we'll see how that works
until
out.
She dies.
Yeah, okay. So the average Thanksgiving turkey weighs 15 pounds. So, I don't know. You know, of course, we quit cooking turkey years ago, but, you know, you go to the grocery store, there are some ginormous turkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd take that thing and load it in, and it takes you forever to cook it. And,
yep.
You know, and then you got leftovers to eat forever.
I know. I love it.
All right.
I can't wait.
Thanksgiving leftovers are the best.
Oh, beer. We were talking beer a little while ago. We've been talking beer all morning.
Speaking of Thanksgiving leftovers.
It's Friday.
Exactly right. According to Nielsen, U.S. beer sales last month. The top nine, because we don't do 10 beers. Number nine is Heineken. Mm. Number eight, Natural Light. Natty. Yeah. Number seven, Modelo Especial.
Ooh, I love
really?
Modelo Especial.
Okay.
Yep.
Michelob Ultra Lager.
Okay.
Not a fan. number four, Miller Lite. Not a fan.
All right.
Oh, I missed number five, Corona Extra. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Number three is Budweiser. Number two is Coors Light. Number one is Bud Light.
Well, you know why Dos Equis didn't make the cut.
Yeah, because it was
all been stolen.
Yeah. You can't drink it if they don't have
exactly.
any of it.
Exactly.
So what does that say? What does that say about U.S. American beer drinkers that three of the top four are light beers?
Yeah.
We're trying to be healthy, Scott.
Yeah, but you know what?
Sure.
Those people over in Europe are looking at us going, what?
It's also cheaper.
I was going to say, it's the cheap stuff. That's what it is. Yeah.
Okay, Chelsea, here's a trivia question for you.
All right.
The deciding game five of the WNBA championship was won by who?
The Sparks.
Who beat the...
Don't know. But I have...
you
come on! Part two!
Yeah, the Lynx.
The Lynx.
Yeah.
They beat the Lynx.
That's right.
But it was the Sparks.
It was. Good
yeah,
for you.
Nice.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
Yeah.
That
No idea.
You didn't tell her it was a two-parter.
Didn't even know they were playing, I know. All right, well, we got stories on snake bites and costumes for Halloween next week. WTAW, College Station.